Hello, this is Andy speaking.
Andy, who was I calling? Andy who?
Is this a prank call?
Andy Gaunt.
James McGrath, my ears do not deceive me. I am talking to you and you are talking to me.
Dude, seriously, how long has it been? It's been a while.
Not long enough.
I've been getting requests, like, not nonstop, but certainly every day from at least one person saying, hey, when are you and Andy going to record again? When's next? What are you doing? And, like, I've even been telling the same people the same lie, for, like, week with week. Like, we're going to record this Friday. There'll be another episode any second, and then we ultimately don't record on Friday, and then I've found myself lying.
I've been telling them I died. Had you not heard, Andy? Andy's no longer with us.
You know, at one point I was considering some kind of prank like that, just so I could record something and get it out there.
But that special would be a bit harsh. Memorial edition podcast.
Jesus. Exactly. We're back. Well, so it's 2024. We're back. It's Curb and Canyon. Porsche enthusiasts talking shit on a podcast, and hopefully someone's going to listen.
That's it, guys. And hopefully you're back with us, but it might be that it's your first time as well. This is a Porsche podcast by Porsche enthusiasts. We are just a couple of knuckleheads who love these cars. We are not automotive journalists. Most of the time, we don't even know what we're talking about, to be fair.
Way to tears up. Yeah, awesome. Now, half the people that were considering hanging up have already hit stop, and they've gone back to their Taylor Swift album.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Welcome to Curb and Canyon. Right. So, it's been a minute, huh? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has. It went from being, you know, like a couple of weeks to a month to a couple of months, and now, like, it's nearly springtime here in beautiful Minnesota. Must be gearing up for winter down under, right?
Well, yeah. So tell me, what is the temperature in Minnesota today?
All right. Well, technically it's freezing, but it's nowhere near as cold as it has been the last, you know, 10 years I've lived here. We're right. Usually under, you know, 2 or 3 feet of snow at this point and colder than the Arctic Circle. But actually, we've had snow once or twice this season and it's melted pretty quickly.
Right.
So, you know, it's bright blue skies. It's dead grass and it's not so cold that it'll kill you. And even some of my diehard, you know, winter phobes like my mate Chris, who put their cars away all winter and torture themselves, even he actually got it out before the end of February. Really? which is a miracle. Yeah. Mr. GT3 touring. So yeah, it's good. It's good. Good. Good.
It is hot here. It is. Today is going to be 39 degrees Celsius, which is 102 Fahrenheit.
Just shoot me.
So it is hot as balls. We should probably talk about, just, I guess, by way of explanation of why it's been such a break for the two of us, you know, it's tricky. James is in Minnesota. I am in Melbourne in Australia. And, you know, the time difference is tough. And sometimes life just gets in the way. You know, we've got families, we've got jobs. This is something we look forward to. But I was going to tally up the amount of times we'd each cancelled on each other because we have gone to record this podcast so many times. And there was a period where I was pretty certain that you had cancelled on me more than I'd cancelled on you. But I think towards the back end, I think I came home strong.
You know what's funny? I've been sort of keeping a mental tally along those lines. And
I think we're pretty close. Come on.
You cancelled
on me plenty.
There have been a couple of times where I've thought, okay, Andy's cancelled like 3 weeks in a row now. We've got to start recording just so I can take the piss out of you for it.
That's true, because when you get a run-on of cancellations, it's like if you would cancel on me a couple of times in a row, I started to feel a little bit like I'm the only one committed. This motherfucker keeps letting me down. It's all him.
Well, So I've got to admit this. All right. So the for those who don't know, our recording window is like Friday afternoon Minnesota time and Saturday morning kangaroo time. And I'm now at the situation where, you know, I'm working from home. All three kids are out of the house on a Friday at school, and my meetings are pretty light on a Friday. So there have actually been quite a few times when I've decided to like take an afternoon nap, and I've set my alarm like 20 minutes before we're due to start recording. And there have been quite a few afternoons where I've woken up, looked at my phone, and you're like, oh, mate, I can't make it, you know, whatever reason. And I reply back going, oh, you dickhead, I can't believe it. And then just like turn my phone off and go straight back to sleep.
Well, there was one a few weeks ago where I think we both just flat out forgot.
That's
right. Because there was like, I had no message from you. You had no message from me. And then you still took the moral high ground and messaged me later and said, I can't believe you forgot about us.
Oh, like, absolutely. Dude, do you have any idea how much I was laughing as I was writing that text message to you?
And not only that, taking screen snapshots of our conversations and posting them on social media. What the hell?
I actually don't remember the substance of that particular exchange, but I was so appalled. I was so appalled by what you were telling me, and appreciated my response so much that I just had to share it with the world. Brilliant. Yeah.
Well, do you know, I got to say, it's great to be chatting to you. I feel like we haven't, because we don't really speak when we're not podcasting. We message each other off and on, but we don't actually have a chance to talk. So this is great. And, you know, we've got some stuff to get through. And again, if this is your first time listening to the Curb and Canyon podcast, we'll do a little bit of news. We tend to talk about our cars a lot. They bring us fun and heartache. And then stuff we've been doing, drives we've been on, events we've been to, anything that kind of tickles our fancy. And then we'll finish with our video of the week, which this week I think is a cracker.
Oh, I'm excited, and I've actually watched the video of the week. In fact, not only have I watched the video of the week, I knew which one it was when you sent it to me because I saw it when it landed about a week ago.
Really?
Yeah. See what happens when we don't talk for so long? I, you know, start to take care of business.
Yeah, who did the show notes for today?
You, as always, and guess what? I read them, did not read them. Wait, you sent them over? I got the show notes. Look. Okay. I appreciate the professionalism. I appreciate the organization, but at the same time, it's borderline, you know, kind of controlled fun, and that's where show notes just sort of, you know, itch me a little bit. But yeah, let's follow the show notes. All right, topic number one.
I'm so glad we're going to get into this. You know, like let's talk about how we run our podcast on the podcast. That's the sort of inside baseball people tune in for. Hey, do you know what? Okay, so I'm gonna straight away deviate from the show notes because we do have topic number one. But there was a thing that came out maybe 3 weeks ago that Delta Airways are using a GT3 RS to get people who are desperately late for their plane onto the plane driving across the tarmac. Now,
yeah,
have you seen this?
Dude, I have seen that. And actually, that's not the first time I've seen Delta collaborating with Porsche, because there are quite a few airports in the US where you're looking out of the window waiting for the Skybridge or whatever it is, you know, to come and get you off the plane. And there is a Delta-branded Taycan or a Delta-branded Cayenne Turbo just, you know, down below waiting for, and I wonder, you know, what's going on. So now we know a little bit more, I guess.
But so it's every one of those examples you just used makes sense to me. Now, I get that in having a vehicle of the 911 variant sitting on the tarmac, that gives maximum opportunity for exposure and kind of that wow factor, right? Like, this is how seriously we take getting you onto your plane on time. But the fact that it's a GT3 RS, at least just go a GT3 so you've got the frunk. Like, there's literally nowhere to put anything in a GT3 RS. So unless you are traveling with, your passport and your wallet and nothing else, not even a laptop bag, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, there are speed limits in airports. So,
right?
You know, you know, they're so.
And they're very slow.
No, exactly. And I don't know about the rest of the world, but in the US, every airport has its own police force, basically.
Yeah,
and
they do.
They actually have cops sat around the airport with speed cameras catching baggage towers who are driving too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is gonna be good luck getting to your plane at 15 miles an hour in your GT3 RS.
Imagine eventually they'll be selling that car, and it'll be the car that has all of the mechanical issues because it's never been driven over 20 miles an hour.
Exactly. Yeah, I think still, that's a bit ridiculous. Yeah,
it is. Although that said, if I was traveling Delta and I managed to score myself a ride at 20 miles an hour across the tarmac in a GT3 RS, I'm sure I'd be just videoing that whole thing and saying, check me out, mofos, on social media. That'd still be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Just so many things wrong with that picture. Like, have you ever tried to go out onto the tarmac once you've on an airplane? You got to get off the plane. You got to walk up the jet bridge. You got to go through a secure door. You got to walk back down through a bunch of stairs, along a corridor, and then out onto the tarmac. By that time, you could have gotten to the gate you were trying to fucking drive to in the first place. It's ridiculous. Can you tell how much I'm against this idea? It's ridiculous.
No, I know. And am I the only one thinking of Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber? It's okay. I'm a limo driver.
exactly.
No, I agree. When you're traveling by plane, there is nothing worse than when they pull up and you have to go down the stairs onto the tarmac. And even worse, if you have to get into one of those damn shuttle buses, it's like, where's the air bridge? Just take me into the airport. I do not want to be outside right now. So yeah, I agree. I'm against it. I think it's kind of goofy. I get it. It's a publicity stunt, but.
You know, I think we're going to sound like two old men here just whining, but I'm going to rearrange some of the words in that last sentence of yours, which is quite literally this. There is nothing worse than traveling by plane. I fucking hate air travel. I hate it. I've been doing business travel for so many years. This last month, I've gone to Phoenix 3 times from Minneapolis, and I'm done. You know, TSA check-in. It's still bad. Pre-check, all right, it's good. You don't have to take your shoes off and your belt off and all of that bollocks. But I'm not going to go through all of the reasons why I hate it because there are lots of them. But, like, I'm done. If I can just, like, stay in my hometown or drive to wherever I need to go, game on.
Welcome flying back to the Grumpy Old Travelers podcast. do you know, I used to fly to Toronto a lot. And Toronto customs, they're pretty tough.
Arseholes. Yeah, I've been there many times.
If you fly into Vancouver, they're like, yo, come in. You fly into Toronto and they're tough. But I had a bit of a routine down. I would always get in line where the customs official was younger and female, and then I'd play the role of the kind of tired Australian traveler, right? I'd be like, oh, g'day, how you going? And I'd really ham up the whole Australian thing. This one time I get there and I was so tired, and there was one line that had nobody waiting. But the guy, the customs official, he looked like a US Marine. And I thought, no, he'll be fine. And I tried my whole, you know, goofy, tired Aussie shtick with him, and it was not washing at all. He looked at me with a single raised eyebrow like, hey, sunshine, I didn't come down in the last shower. I've seen your type before. So I put the little mark on my customs entry form that said I had to go into the next room.
Oh.
Right? And I'm thinking, oh, great. So I'm expecting to go in there and hear the thwack of the rubber glove and all that sort of business. Well, I go in there. Do you know who's standing there? Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi. What the hell is Richie Sambora doing here? So that were I ended up talking to Richie Sambora. It was amazing.
That's pretty cool.
This is so cool.
Because you had three fingers and a rubber glove shoved up your ass, and it must have been a wonderful conversation.
I did. I said, how'd you write Living on It? Whoa. Anyway.
Oh, good Lord.
Good times. So We do have an actual news article on my very well prepared show notes, which is Motor One is reporting via Bloomberg that you remember the Felicity Ace, the ship that sank with all of the had 168 Porsches on it. You remember this, right? Everyone does.
Yeah, and that wasn't that during the pandemic when there was already a shortage of cars and all of these beautiful cars that people have been waiting for were just got scuppered to the bottom of the ocean.
The start of 2022, maybe. And it was, I mean, it was a lot of cars. It was a lot of Porsches. And in fact, but it was like a stack of Audis. There's the 400 Audis. There's Bentleys, Lamborghinis, all sorts of stuff, Volkswagens. Well, so it's emerged that they believe the fire that brought the ship down was started by a battery in a Porsche Taycan.
Yeah, I saw that. Damn. Yeah.
What a bummer.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Is this the future that's ahead of us now when we're going to have fully electrified Caymans and Boxsters? Are they just going to be burning down people's houses?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will. Absolutely. And I bet you they have done already. I bet you. I've seen at least half a dozen articles about Teslas catching fire in the last, you know, sort of 4 or 5 years that lead me to believe that it happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm not fear-mongering about EVs. I'm just saying.
No. And actually, absolute bummer. It's a pity for the Porsche brand that it happened. But it's not going to be the last. And there are going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, of those scenarios, which don't make it into the press. But I think it's just part of life, you know? I mean, how many cars have blown up or had wheels falling off?
Of course.
Yeah. Gas tank and gas fumes getting in the cabin, and it, you know, shit happens. But unfortunately, they're in the news, and they'll be the spotlight on them for a little while. But hey, if it sparks some innovation and you know, Porsche come out with a better battery that cools and lasts longer, then you know, it's not the end of the world.
Did you deliberately use the word sparks?
Is that no
pun? So apparently they've known about it for ages. So because what's happening is that the shipping company and their insurance company are suing Porsche. And this has been in the courts since the start of last year, apparently, but we're only just hearing about it now. So anyway.
Interesting.
Whatever. All I know is there's 180 something Porsches at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere. I mean, you know the lawyer joke. There must be, I don't know, what's one burnt Porsche taken and 400 Audis in the bottom of the ocean? Good start.
That's good.
Thank you for eventually laughing at that joke.
Hey, now I see you've got, you've been pumping out different tack faces. There's some really cool ones.
I was going to say tacos. Yeah, I was in Phoenix the other week and I had a lot of Mexican food. It was great. Tacos, burritos, breakfast burritos.
So tell me about these tack faces, because they do. They look really good, like great quality.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. So, of all of the things I've dabbled in my auto amateur journey so far, there have been two or three mods that have been really successful. The Joy Auto CarPlay one was like a booming success. I've sold a bunch of those units, and I've done now, it's got to be over 50 jobs myself personally around the country into other people's cars. So that was a big one. And then my colored tack faces were massive. They were really popular. But unfortunately, my supplier was doing business with a third party. That third party went under. Long story short, the quality just dipped, unfortunately. It took a massive dive towards the end. So I just kind of pulled them from my website. And I thought, if it's not something I'm willing to put into my own car, I'm not having someone else put it into their car, you know. So I pulled them, and it's been about a year now, maybe, since I've designed any and sold any. But I've just happened to come across a new supplier that's pumped a bunch of R&D into The materials, the designs, they've got this really slick printing process, which I don't want to bore you, but it basically prints and reprints all of the stuff like multiple times on multiple layers. And they're just, they are excellent quality, just really super quality. So yeah, I'm really excited. I've got a bunch of custom styles that are, you know, available on my website, and I'm no longer just doing them for 991s and the more modern kind of cars that share the same instrument cluster size, but first generation and second generation Cayennes, the 996, the 997. I got them for the nine. I actually have them for the 964 if you're interested in the 993. But yeah, super cool. And I'm actually going to be installing some in my own car this weekend. I've got these black ones with green letters, green numbers, and these retro kind of rings around the outside. Oh, they look so sharp. I'm pretty excited.
That's really interesting. Tell me more about the printing.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding. No, they look, I have to say, I looked on your socials and you could just tell, yeah, the quality is great. I don't want to turn this into an auto amateur store ad, but yeah, I was super impressed. If I was into that,
well,
sort of
thank
stuff.
You very much. Why aren't you into that kind of stuff? I'll get you a green one for Little Green. I'll put your face on it in the middle.
I'd rather have your face on it. And like your eyebrows go up every time the car revs. That'd be good.
Oh, God.
No, I'm OEM Plus. OEM Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of mods and updates, how is Bluey Tui? I see some stripes. Now yeah. Again, for people who perhaps haven't tuned into our podcast before, what is Bluey Tui?
Bluey Tui is a Porsche, a 911, 991.2, Carrera Coupe, bloody bloody blah. It's lovely. I'm so happy with it. It's,
nice
it's really cool. Yeah, I'm really glad I got it. I got rid of original Bluey, my 996 project car last summer. Within a few weeks, I picked this one up, and
so nice.
It's in many ways it feels very similar to my 991.1, unsurprisingly, because it's the same generation, but The subtle changes and the differences between the two generations really make this car very special and very different to drive. The turbocharged engine, the lower torque, just some of the refinements here and there in the styling and the body. And I'm super excited. And the color keeps growing on me. It's graphite blue metallic, which was one of the special colors that they offered in that generation. Some days it kind of looks like a gray. Some days it sort of looks like a steely blue. Other days it looks completely different again, depending on the light. I get a lot of compliments actually about the color. I feel like I really haven't had a chance to work on it very much so far. I've owned it for just over 6 months, 7 or 8 months now. But I was looking back over the list of things that I have done. And it's quite a lot. And I've still got more to go. It's going to be a fun summer and a fun spring if I can just get myself in the garage and get myself out on the road. My videos have gone from, sort of one a month to one every kind of 3 months. And so I'm really slacking on the video front, unfortunately.
you've moved into the last rasp methodology.
Yeah, but you see, let me tell you what the problem is there. And actually, some of my friends, I was at a Porsche event the other weekend. We were talking about you and we were talking about last rasp and we're talking about some of the like really good content creators out there. And I can't remember what they said, but I'll boil it down for you. Basically, you go away for a couple of months and then you turn out this absolutely breathtaking, beautiful, stunning, sort of epic 5-minute video and just wow everybody. I don't put a video out for a couple of months, but then I come out with a video and it's basically the same old shit. It's the same standard. And
everyone
I haven't
wants that. Everyone wants that from you. That's why it works. It's so good.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. It's not like I spend the months in between releasing my video, you know, like really trying to up my craft and up the gain. I do try a little bit, but God damn it, Andy Gaunt. Yeah, every time you put out a video, I just sit back and sigh and put my head in my hands.
That's funny. I don't, most of what I watch on YouTube isn't like that. Like lately I've been getting into, is it Adam LZ?
Yeah.
That's his name. He's a drifter. He's got some Porsche content on his channel, but he's bought this mint 964 coupe, which was a Tiptronic. And he's done some kind of deal with eBay Motors and he's converted it to manual. And he's done a rebuild on the engine and he's done all of these things. And I'm loving watching his content because he goes in deep on what he's doing on the car. And what's really interesting is I think, and someone might correct me, but I think he's somewhat of an air-cooled Porsche novice. And so he's really working this stuff out as he's going. And it's great to watch. And honestly, the modifications he's making to that car, he's not done anything goofy, like they've all been really well curated and thought through, and each time he drops a video, which is maybe once a week, it's like 20 minutes of, okay, today the engine's going back in the car and we're going to drive it for the first time, like big steps. It's really cool, and it's not high production values, it's just really super interesting.
That's good. All right. I'm feeling a little bit better about life. So, you know, it's not the end of all.
It's all about the personality, dude. It's all about the personality.
Hey, now, speaking of drifters, I was in Florida last weekend at Works Reunion. I actually shipped my car down there so that I could put it in the corral and drive around.
Did you just say you just had to shit your car?
Ship.
Sorry.
P for penis. Okay.
Just speak a little more clearly, all right? I'm on the other side of the world.
So it's the Friday morning of the event. I'm there with Jay Reed and Michael Wooten, Michael Motors and Meats, and the three of us are going in convoy to the show. They're in front of me. They get out into the road first. And then there must have been, oh God, I don't know, like 20 Porsches in a row driving really close together. So I'm waiting my turn to get out. After these 20 beautiful Porsches leave, this souped up, I think it was either a Honda Accord or it was a Subaru Impreza, but it looked like it had a spray paint kind of paint job. It had a big wing on the back. It was lowered. You know, the windows were down, the music was blaring, and you could just see this thing coming a mile. So I'm waiting at this roundabout, and the guy puts himself into a drift to go round the roundabout and misses the front of my car by, like, must have been millimeters. It was, like, I was basically thinking to myself, oh, that's it, that's my front bumper, gone. I hope it's just my front bumper that goes. He was so close. So he drifted past the front of my car and you could just hear them laughing out of the window as they were doing it, which really, really pissed me off. Missed my car, managed to get it back under control. But then as they went and took the exit off the road, they slammed into the central reservation, drifting the other way. And I think like his rear wheel came off and there was this massive, like, YouTube fail army kind of level bang. And he sort of just drifted off into the side of the road. And I was so ready to, like, get out of the car and just go and beat the piss out of them. Because, oh, that was so close hitting my car. I drove by and had my window down. And the dude was, like, in the front seat, steam, you know, like, coming out of the engine. And you could tell, like, he wasn't injured, but he was a little bit dazed and confused. And I put my window down and part of me wanted to like ask him if he was okay. And I was thinking about stopping and pulling over and seeing if he was okay. But I just instinctively screamed at him, you know, dumb fuck. I just screamed at him, you dumb fuck. And then drove by. And quite literally about 3 seconds later, the car behind me and the car behind that person also driving Porsches, it was like we were singing an echo of dumb fuck. Dumb fuck, you dumb fuck. Everyone was just laying into this poor kid. But Jesus, I swear to God, I probably would have broken a bone if he'd have actually hit my car. I'm not a violent person, but Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there. Because, I mean, secretly, yeah, like when we see someone do something that dumb, there's absolutely that moment of, well, hey, there's justice. You just
yeah.
your car.
Instant karma.
Yeah. Love that. But then the chorus of dumb fuck, all everyone harmonizing. I'm sort of hearing a Bee Gees kind of vibe. yeah, I don't know.
No compassion.
Like you should have helped.
No. What I should have done.
Someone probably, there wasn't a YouTube fail video going on of the dude crashing. There'll be a video on YouTube of Porsche owners, pricks, all yelling, "Dumb fuck at this poor guy who's crashed his car."
Maybe. I haven't yet seen it arrive on YouTube, but I think I'd like to kindly ask him to step out of his car and lay down in traffic and let me just reverse over him a couple of times.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Like, if you're going to do something stupid in your car, do it on your own.
When there's no risk of doing anything. No, I hear you. So have you done, I mean, it's been a good few months that you've had the car now. Have you done any good drives in it? Have we like Tale of the Dragon, anything?
Well, I'm about 5 or 6 weeks away from going to Tale of the Dragon with all the guys. So I went down to Florida for this show, was there for a couple of days, was always planning on driving it back. But I was going to take my time and spend a few days kind of driving it back. I ended up doing 1,400 miles in 21 hours.
I saw.
And drove all the way back to Minnesota in a single day. I think it was 9 in the morning when I left Amelia Island, and I got home just before 6 a.m. But anyway, on the trip...
Imagine how your breath must have smelled.
Smell like Diet Coke and coffee.
24 cups of coffee.
It probably didn't smell as bad as
kiss hello, and she's like, "Oh, get away!"
It probably didn't smell as bad as my trousers. You know, lot of time for farting in 21 hours in a car.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I intentionally set my GPS to keep me off the interstates. The roads out of Florida weren't too special, but once I got into Georgia and into Kentucky, I think it was, and into Missouri, loads of really cool twisty turnies, pretty much for hundreds of miles, actually. Not nowhere near as challenging as Tale of the Dragon, but really, really entertaining. I mean, yeah, I think for these long road trips, I'm going to try and stay off the interstates as much as I can, because the county roads here in a lot of those kind of central states that, you know, have mountains running through them, or, you know, the Mississippi running through them, which cuts, you know, really nice contours. That it was really enjoyable. Awesome. And actually, I came to a couple of, really kind of spectacular scenes, like on the tops of bluffs and across bridges that I probably never will have ever seen or thought to look at, in these tiny little almost ghost towns, in all of these different counties and states. Pulled over for roadside barbecue once or twice, which was really good. just some random dude with a barrel on the side of the road, slow roasting ribs. And then he just had some British guy in a Porsche pull up and be like, "Hello, can I have some barbecue, please?"
Can you imagine he'd be looking around just thinking, "Where the hell am I? Who is this guy?"
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. In Gatorville, Louisiana, or wherever it was. some 6'6", ginger haired English guy asking for ribs. Really good. Yeah, so I did that, and I did a similar kind of strategy on the way back from the the Rocky Mountains when I tried to make it out to Rensport Reunion. Basically took the twisty turny roads all the way back through Colorado and Wyoming and the Dakotas until you got to Minnesota, and then it's all straight roads and just boring as shit. But apart from that, it was very good.
What's the difference between twisty and turny? Is it like country and western?
So a twisty,
like chit chat.
You know that's like what is chit and what is chat?
Yeah,
that's a great question. So to me, a twisty road is where it's almost like chicanes, and you glide and you twist a little bit from left to right, and you can you can pick a path and you can just go for it. A turny road is like a switchback where you actually have to crank the wheel and get it into second. And
interesting.
Come on, Andy, you know this.
Everyone just calls them twisties. You're the only person I know that calls them twisty turnies.
Yeah, well, I'm supremely cool.
You might as well start
saying
oopsie-daisy.
Hey, maybe I will.
You probably already do.
Actually, that reminds me.
You probably said it when you pulled up with old mate on the side of the road. And you're getting out of your car and you step in a puddle. Oopsie daisy. May I have some ribs?
Whoopsie daisy. So I'm famous for my potty mouth, I guess, with my friends. And, maybe I'm not proud of it, but I certainly drop the odd swear word every now and again. However, around my kids, I am good as gold. There is never a bad word that slips out of my mouth when I'm around my kids.
That's good.
The other day, my little 5-year-old Adam, I asked him if he could come into the living room so that I could talk to him. And as he got up off the couch and put his iPad down, he actually just sort of muttered under his breath, "Oh, for fuck's sake." And I swear to God, he didn't get that from me. He did not get that from me. And I've noticed now, because that one thing happened. And I was like, "Adam, what did you just say?" And he's like, "I just said what mummy says." Both Luke and Adam have started to say like a couple of things that my wife will say. And I know. I don't want to throw my wife under the bus, but I know that these things have come from her, because only she says these things in the very particular way that she says them. There you go. Brilliant.
Dang.
How about you? So I've got a couple of things, like how's Choco, my favorite chocolate colored dog. It looks like you've been tidying your garage, or at least putting posters on the wall. I mean, who are you? Where's the mess gone?
All right. So first of all, your first question is really confusing. So Sully, my black Labrador, is absolutely fine. Rocco,
ridiculous,
my good mate who I drive with. Happy birthday, Rocco. By the time this comes out, it'll be, I think, the day after your birthday. But happy birthday, good sir. Rocco is fine. In fact, I'm gonna make a big shout out to Rocco. So last weekend was Alpine Range Rally 9. The 9th running of the Alpine Range Rally.
9. Wow.
And and I was so excited for this one. And we had Rocco and I had done a recce drive mid last year to have a look at a road that we wanted to include in day one. We decided to add it into day one, making day one the biggest single rally day we'd ever done. But this road was well worth it. I was so excited. So we leave on Friday morning. Now, you mentioned my garage being a little bit tidier. On Sunday, the Sunday before, so 5 days out, I was tidying my garage, and I happened to be kneeling down, and there were 2 slabs or cases of beer, and I slid them together from sort of left to right whilst kneeling down, which my physiotherapist would tell me is a really bad thing for somebody with back issues to do. So the next morning I felt a little sore in my back, and I thought, okay, that's from what I did yesterday in the garage. That was dumb. Well, Tuesday morning, as I put my shoe on, my back just went. And so I couldn't stand, I couldn't walk. I was in big trouble. And, so this is Tuesday, and I've now have, Wednesday, 72 hours to heal my back. before day one of the rally, being Friday morning. So late Thursday, I messaged Rocco and I said, dude, there's no way. I've been trying. I spent 3 days on my back, but I just couldn't make it. So the rally actually happened without me, which was devastating. Oh,
gutting. Gutting.
Now, I'll say one thing. I think because Rocco and I have organized it so many times now, it was something where I was able to not go and it still went smoothly. The maps were all great. You know, there weren't any issues with that. So I think we've got it a pretty well-oiled machine going. But yeah, Rocco just, he's like, don't worry about it. I'll swing by your house. I'll pick up all of the merch, because we have these cool t-shirts made. I'll pick up all the merch and yeah, it's cool. And all he kept saying to me was, just try and meet us somewhere. Just do that. We just want you there. And unfortunately I couldn't. I thought about driving to meet them on the Saturday morning, but there was no way. It's really only now, a week later, that I'm able to really move or drive my car. So there was no way I was doing 6.5-7 hours a day driving through the twisties with everybody. And as anyone who's a long-time listener or anyone who will have seen any of my videos on Alpine Rage Rally knows, we always have catastrophic weather conditions. Always.
Oh, yeah. Rain. It's like it always rains,
monsoonal.
Right?
Monsoonal. What do you think the weather was like on this one?
Perfect.
Perfection. Absolute perfection.
So you're going to be uninvited to future rallies now.
Because my plan to phase my relevance out is complete. I'm not needed. Maps are all there. But it's, you know what's funny? Because I was in the lead up to this rally, I was so excited and I was saying to people, this is great. It's the first rally in a long time where I don't feel like I'm rushing to get my car ready. I don't have to rush because so last year, my last rally prior to this was Tasmania. And you know, for that rally, I took Little Green, my 1990 964 C4 coupe, and right before it, it turned out I needed to replace the clutch, which is not a small job. And then, to be honest, I'd taken my car into my local Porsche specialist, had them looked at it. All I wanted them to do was change the clutch pin, because sometimes the clutch pin fails in my car and I didn't want it to fail while I was away. Well, that clutch pin turned into the clutch, then valve covers, then timing chain housing. It turned into an engine out massive job. And I picked the car up 2 days before the rally with a brand new clutch and the engine just put back in it. So I must confess to being somewhat concerned as I loaded my car onto a boat to travel interstate to an island state and have 3 days of hard rallying with the engine only having just been put in the car 2 days prior. And there's a cable that connects the reverse light something, which came undone on day one of the rally and was dragging along the ground. So we managed to just tape that up. And other than that, it was fine. So I had 3 days of rallying with all my mates on incredible roads in the 964, which was phenomenal. And then Kath actually flew down and met me. And then we did another 4 days of touring in the 964 around Tasmania. I did something like 3,500 kilometers.
Bloody hell.
The car was incredible, absolutely incredible. Yeah. Like, it did not miss a beat. But yeah, that was one hell of a mad rush to get it ready. And yeah, this rally, I was thinking, I don't need to do anything. I'm so set. The car was even clean and detailed 2 weeks prior. I thought, I don't even have to wash it. I can just relax. All I need to do is charge up the battery for my camera, charge up the battery for my radio. And I'm set. I'll be able to jump in the car Friday morning and happy days. And then age sort of got in the way and said, hey, listen, old timer, not so fast.
Oh, mate, that sucks.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? I've got to say, the lads were sending me photos every day and if I'm honest, I had a few low points where I was looking at the photos just thinking, you can all fuck off. But honestly, it was really great. And it looked like everyone was just, I don't know, it made me happy just seeing everyone was just clearly really enjoying it. It looked like it was just a really good time. There were some mechanical issues. There were two cars that didn't actually finish the journey, which is.
Oh, really? What happened?
So my understanding is that on the new road that Rocco and I had recce'd back in July, everyone drove in, and it's an in and out kind of road, right? You drive in, it's like 40 minutes to this tiny little town with a general store and nothing else. And then you drive back out on the same road. And so they had a great drive in. And my buddy Simon, who has a 911 SC that is very hot rodded, it is a very, very cool car. He parked, and some guy who, I don't know, was staying in the town just asked him if he could move his car. I think he was parked in front of a petrol tank or something. He said, yeah, no problem. He gets in the car, goes to start it, puts his foot on the clutch, doosh, the clutch cable snapped.
Oh, that's it. No.
And there's nothing, you can't. There's no coming back from that. You know, you can't cable tie it. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, and then, so as they waited for the tow truck to arrive in the middle of nowhere, PJ, who was sort of coming, a few of the guys had left a little bit later than the rest of the team. PJ rolled in his 944, which had, he'll tell me I'm wrong. I think something wrong with a ball joint, maybe. So both cars ended up being taken out of there on a flatbed tow truck. Now, Simon, credit to him, he rode back with the tow truck, and he daily drives Gen 1 997.
Okay.
So on Saturday morning, he got up at 4:30 in the morning, drove to Lakes Entrance, which is 3 hours away, to meet everybody before then doing the 6 or so hours of rallying. So he rejoined the group. Now, I did that a few years ago. I did a very similar thing, but on that particular day, we didn't drive near as far in the actual rally portion. So, he definitely gets the MVP, I think, for
he's too keen for my liking. That's keen on a whole new level.
I'm suspicious. For like 36 hours straight, didn't you? Like, that's keen.
Yeah, no, well, that's just stupid. That's what that is.
Well, so there's my question. Is there a difference?
I'm sure there probably is. But
hey, so tell me about Amelia Island. You there, that was last weekend, right?
It was, yeah. And actually, perfect kind of segue talking about Little Green, because I spent a lot of time this weekend in Amelia Island, just like really trying to, this is going to sound really, maybe a little bit neither here nor there, but like just really trying to be present and not worry about, you know, shooting videos and not worry about what we're doing in the evening. Just like I'm there for 4 or 5 hours or however long it is. I'm just going to try and enjoy this as much as I can. And especially, you know, being away from work and family or whatever. So I think I've had a realization as I've looked and spent a lot of time this past weekend looking at pretty much every generation and variant of Porsche 911 ever released.
Yeah.
I think the 964 might be the perfect 911. I think.
You heard it first.
I didn't think I would ever say that. I mean, I love the 964. Don't get me wrong. I always thought that I liked the 993 a bit more than the 964.
Yeah.
And the modern Porsches, the 991.2 in particular, I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
But this weekend, I think my heart was taken with at least
four or five
964s.
What was it? I
think first off, there was a singer there. Okay. Yeah. And it's not hard to fall in love with a singer. I think it was like a chocolate brown color. The interior was you know, just completely done high-end tweed kind of, or houndstooth, whatever sort of interior. It was just absolutely gorgeous. And the paint, the paint itself was enough to sell that car for $1 million, and everything else is just icing on the cake. It was just incredible. And then I saw a number of 993s next to each other. And like, I took a long, hard look at the 993 headlights and the sort of the way the body contour around the lights and the hood, you know, kind of come together. I just like, I had a 993 on my right and a 964 on my left. And I was just going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And I kept on wanting to just look at the 964. And then I saw a bunch of 997s, and I still absolutely adore the first generation 997. I think that is also one of the best Porsches ever released. And maybe I was just, you know, high on the Florida air or whatever, but I'm now starting to see similarities between the 964 and the 997.1. I'm probably crazy, but I saw a bunch. I just saw a bunch of 964s and just thought, you know, dude, if I could fit in one, if I could afford one, that would just be such a nice car to own. But yeah, there were, I mean, you being a 964 owner, there were so many nice versions. There were old ones with the paint kind of peeling off, and they still look great. There was a Singer. There were a couple of special editions. There must have been a dozen there that were just absolutely breathtaking. And I could have spent all my time just looking at those 964s. But it was great.
It's funny, though. Don't you think that whole thing of, you know, what is your favorite 911 or what is your favorite generation of 911? I think that literally just depends on what day you ask me, and what car I'm looking at in that particular moment. Yeah. If I see a G-body car on the road, that's it. I'm like, that's what I want now. I want an SC or a 3.2 Carrera. I love it. I never used to like the impact bumpers, but these days I love them. If I see a 992 on the road, I'll message my friend Anthony and say, all right, it's finally happened. The 992 has overtaken the 991 for me as the better looking car. I want the 992 now. And then I'll see a 991 and be like, that's the car I have to have. Like, it's literally, I am like a four-year-old being confronted with candy, whichever is in front of me, that is the one I'm desperate to have in that particular moment. Although, my friend Gerard messaged me on Saturday. He owns a 991, a first gen Carrera S, which he took to Tasmania and had a great time in. But he also owns a 964, and you know, he was messaging me on Saturday afternoon. There is a particular road that we drive on the rally to a little town called Mitamita, and he was just messaging me after that drive, just saying this car is just the most incredible thing. And just, yeah, he was leading everyone. There was modern cars behind him, all sorts of stuff. But when you set a 964 up well, they are on a particular type of road. They're pretty hard to beat. They're very hard to beat.
Yeah, yeah.
I love them. I obviously love them, but I'm biased. No,
yeah, I mean, I've got this. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, you if you'd have asked me maybe 7.5 minutes ago, I would have told you it was the 991 Touring that I just saw drive past my house. But yeah, there was something about the 964, the contours. I think color combos actually that I saw this weekend were probably most impressive. There was there was like this sort of, I don't know, like a ruby kind of red pink sort of color, and you just ruby couldn't stuff. Take your eyes ruby off stuff. It. Yeah, something like there you go.
Yeah.
And there was like a turquoisey kind of teal color.
Could be wimpy.
There was one I think was actually repainted because the sign on it said Miami Blue. I don't know if they had Miami Blue 964s.
No.
And it had the ducktail on the back, and it had the Fuchs wheels, and it had the really big kind of handwritten Carrera decals on the side of the doors. That might have been my favorite car actually from the whole show. This is so good. So good. And I'm talking to these owners and they're like, oh yeah, what have you got? And I showed them, you know, my car, and they're like, oh, I really like your car. And I was like, just give me the keys. Let's trade. I'm like, I can't fit in yours, but let's just trade anyway.
Yeah, that's it. You need a 964 Targa so you can just take the roof off.
Well, you know, so I've said it before, right? You know, you said if I could pay Porsche any amount of money, what would I get them to make me? Yeah. Well, no more am I going to ask them to make me a 993 turbo in the dimensions of the 992. It's going to be a 964 with a ducktail.
But that's essentially a roof
of the 992.
But that's essentially a roof, right? Like because the what is it, the SCR, that's it looks like a 964, but it's big.
I want one so bad, Andy. Just get me one.
I don't think I can.
Be amazing, get me one.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can make that happen. To be honest, even if I had the funds to make it happen, I still couldn't make it happen.
But yeah, I saw a bunch of people. There was a lady that we met the previous year at the last works reunion called Cindy. She's on Instagram. I think it's P911 girl. She has a 991.1 turbo, I can't remember what type of blue it is, but it's basically like a navy blue. Absolutely gorgeous. She does mods to it all the time. She drives it all the time. She's always on Instagram. She's super nice. She brought her husband, who's also into Porsche. So we bumped into her. Bumped into a bunch of people that had very nice things to say about my videos, which was kind. Tried my best to irritate Jay all weekend as much as possible, especially because his son was there. He had one of his two boys. Barney came with us last summer to the Tale of the Dragon, and Louis came with us this time. Just actually such a cracking lad, really good. I just, you know, wanted to pat him on the shoulder and say, I'm just so sorry, Jay's your dad. You're a cool kid. But you know, good fun and games. And now, you know, I'm just counting the days now to Tale of the Dragon. Bring it on. That's like end of May.
It's funny what you say about being present. You know, I did the same thing in Tasmania. I had all my cameras, and on day one, I started recording, and I was shooting, you know, on our drive away from the boat to get breakfast. I was filming. And then we arrived at breakfast, and I thought, "No, I'm not doing this. I just want to enjoy this trip. I want to turn the cameras off, stop thinking about making sure they're both running, making sure I've got the microphones turned on, and I just turned it all off. And it was the best thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's good. You got to do it every once in a while. Definitely,
you do.
So, video of the week, dude. I'm excited because I've at least watched it.
So you've actually seen this?
Yeah, it's like a video on YouTube about Porsches. It was brilliant.
All right. Well, look, I'm gonna assume you've seen it. It's a film called Echoes, which follows the story of a guy named Ed Mills, and his, I think it's a mid-70s 911, unless it's been backdated, but he talks about that mid-70s era as being his absolute, you know, sweet spot in terms of what he wanted from a car. It's beautifully shot. The whole thing's been shot on a red Komodo, which is a stunning camera. And I don't know, it's just one of those nice little Porsche stories. It's a quick watch, 3 minutes. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, really nice. And it was also another video that kind of made me want to cry because the drone photography in it was beautiful, and the sort of the storytelling of the, you know, he started off, I think it was in his living room, kind of looking out at his car, and then he's in his car, and then he's out on the road, and then he's kicking it up a gear. And I think the music as well was like quite kind of intense music, for that kind, you know, it's like building up to something. Really well shot. Yeah.
You can tell when someone has put effort into their craft. So this is on a channel by the channel's Jay Kyron. Jay, how you doing? Hopefully you'll hear this. You probably won't. But you know, like the rolling shots, the tracking shots of the car. You know, those lovely front three quarter shots. Just great, perfectly crafted. It's one of those ones where, like you say, the storytelling is lovely, and so is the cinematography. And I love what he says. He talks about, you know, waking up at 3 a.m. and then calling his wife and saying, and she's like, "Where are you?" And he's like, I'm in Scotland. Like, I just love that idea yeah. that you can get up in the morning and not really have the intention of, you know, making some epic road trip, but the car yeah. just, once you're in it, it just,
yeah,
it'll just drag you there. I love that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that was my experience on the way back from Florida. You know, that was supposed to be a three-day road trip. And I was in that car, and every minute I was behind that wheel, listening to the exhaust or, you know, putting it into the corners, I just, well, okay, another 50 miles, another 50 miles.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's just go until 6 o'clock. Let's just go until 9 o'clock. And before you know it, I've been behind the wheel for 21 hours. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He, I love as well, the owner, Ed, talks about, you know, modifying cars and the idea that, you know, your wallet dictates how fast you can go with that process.
Totally.
And he, you know, he made the decision there was no need to rush. And do you know what? I loved hearing that because so often when I see videos on YouTube or builds on Instagram, you know, it looks as though somebody bought the car and then they've done in the space of 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, everything. It's been repainted, engine's been rebuilt.
Yeah.
Punched out to 3.8 liters, a whole new interior. And it creates this sense of, oh man, my car's not good enough. I need to get this done. I have to have it done now. And it, which is ridiculous because anyone else would look at your car and think, that car's amazing. What are you even talking about? But it creates this artificial and inflated need to upgrade and modify. And so, you know, I've been talking about doing the interior of my car forever. And it was like, yeah, you know what? Just you can do it when you can do it. You can afford it when you can afford it. And my plan with that actually is to just kind of do it bit by bit, like buy the leather just when I can, buy the carpet when I can, just gradually do it. So that it doesn't feel like such a massive thing that I have to just bite off a huge mouthful and chew forever. I can just, you know, work my way through it. But I love that someone said in a video, hey, you know what? You just do it as you do it. And you don't need to feel that impatient. And no one else is thinking about your car the way you think about your car.
Exactly. Yeah. You're the only one putting pressure on you to do anything to your car.
Literally. Be grateful.
Yeah. 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 Well, dude, I think that's it. We're back. Another episode in the can.
Yeah. So what, do this again in, you reckon, 4 or 5 months?
Let's say 6, just to be safe. And if we're if we do a Mr. Scott and deliver ahead of time, then it's just going to be good for everybody.
Well, it's funny because we did, just so everyone knows, we did talk about actually recording 2 episodes in one hit just in case.
But, oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember? But I've only done show notes for one, and also my back is not loving sitting down. So it's saying, hey, let's wrap this up so we can get upright again.
You poor old fucker. All right, dude, you have a great time down under. And Curb and Canyon listeners, thank you for hanging in there with us. I promise there'll be more content coming soon. I'm not sure Andy's promising as well, but at least one of us is. And we'll see you in the next pod.
Promise. Yeah, I don't promise. I'll do my best. That's it. I'll pinky swear. But hey, make sure you check us out on Instagram too, Curb and Canyon. Check out James, Auto Amateur. Check out Andy, Last Rasp. Anyone else they need to check out, James?
Your mother.
We'll see you guys on the next one.